A very, very, very good evening to you, Zimbabwe. You are tuned into Live Talk, The Connection, on Tuesday, the 19th of December, 2017, coming to you live from Voice of America in Washington, D.C. I'm Mike Hove.
And I am Evans Sininga.
Tonight, we're talking about the political, economical, and social changes that are happening in the country. The big question at hand, folks, is where do the youth fit in? Secondly, what can we do in light of all these changes, developments, to uplift ourselves as the youth?
To join in our discussion today, please phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we will call you back.
Live Talk goes out to our Zimbabwe on our 909 medium shortwave frequency, Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 p.m. We also have repeats that run every morning the following day from 6 to 7 a.m.
Thank you for joining us. You are tuned into Live Talk, The Connection. This evening we are talking about the youth. The big question at hand is, how can we uplift ourselves in light of all the political, economical and social developments that have happened in the country?
The past 2 months of 2017 have been a very, very interesting time in Zimbabwean history. We have had a military takeover. We have a new president and we now have a new cabinet, which unfortunately breaks my heart to say this, but it lacks the youth element.
With all that in mind, tonight we're going to discuss with our guests where we fit in as the youth and of course what we can do to uplift ourselves.
And so, folks, tonight we want to hear your views on the issue. Please, I urge you, if you wish to join the conversation, call us. Our number is 001-202-619-2077, and we'll call you back. The number again, 001-202-619-2077, and we will call you back. Evans.
Mike.
What's up?
You're looking good, man.
I stay looking good, brother. So, tonight, my friend, we are talking about the things that are happening in our country.
Right.
A lot of changes have happened.
Lots. Tunoda kuti tione kuti
vanopinda sei pamamwe
epa. Zvese zviri kuitika izvi.
Ndizvo izvozvo.
Ivo vari kukwana papi? Vari kuenda kupi vakananga papi? Ndonyaya iri pano nasi.
Yebo, yebo zuluka ndaba okhuluma ngo Mike Hove intatalizi ndaba yase Studio 7. Earlier on postile video ngathi ngiyalinxusa nonke abontanga. So if ungenile ngiyabonga kakhulu abontanga, ngiyabonga kakhulu, ngiyalikwamukela nonke kuhlelo The Connection, uhlelo lwabasakhulayo. Lamhlanje kuhlelo we are talking about the future yethu njengabasakhulayo. Sifuna ukuza ukuthi through all the changes that are happening in Zimbabwe, kwezombusazwe emphakathini, thina singenapi? Simzwile umnumzana Patrick Chimnamasa, u-finance minister, esithi hey madoda, i-budget yami inga-approvewa kule mali enenge ekhangelele ukuthuthukisa abontanga, bafuna ukuthi basiyenzele ibhanga madoda, ibhanga kugcwele imali. So madoda, ngenani kuhlelo lisitshela ukuthi hey thina njengabontanga singazithuthukisa kanjani, imali leyo ngempela singayithola. What happens? Ngenani kuhlelo madoda. So Evans,
tell us more.
Nasim Dara, tine MVP guest in the studio.
Paga ipa.
Tine mamonya in the studio. Nasim Dara. So folks, joining us in studio today is a very young Zimbabwean graduate. You are in grad school. My bad. He's in grad school. Anisu Masube. Anisu, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing great.
Yeah, we big up each other.
Dozo, mate.
Do your power.
Yeah, I do feel a power. I do feel it.
Once when you're here, pop up, mchirongo, I'm dara. You're going to say?
Yeah, the name are mixed feelings.
Mixed feelings?
Yeah, the name I think mixed feelings. Every Zimbabwean, I have mixed feelings about this because panenguva yatakambo fara steric anditi takafara singaiti mamachiro akaita vanhu paya paya just before former president Mugabe vabviswa pachigaro zvaita senge zvinhu zvatanga takamirira zviya
zvazonyaka
zvazoitika. But I think question hombe yatanga tisingazvibvunzi ndeyekuti chii chaizvo chaizvo chatanga takamirira. Tanga takangomirira kubva kwa president Mugabe here? Oh, tanga takamirira kuti I think nguva yekuti my dreams edu aisvike pakufulfillika yasvika. Tanga takamirira kuti mabasa aya ambenga achitinetsa for the past like 20 years nguva yekuzowana mabasa aya yasvika. Economy yemunyika medu yange yakadhakwa for almost I don't know 20 years now. Yashika. So I think mu euphoria watanga tinao atina kunyanyoda kudzika nema questions. Zvinhu zvatikazo realize sanasi uno takuzvivunza kuti what does this all mean to an ordinary young Zimbabwean? And what it means is we're asking ourselves kuti mabasa acho achatanga kuwanika here. Vanhu vakagara kumba izvizvi vasiri kushanda vachatanga kuwana mabasa here. Vanhu vari kutsvaga dzimari varoda kutanga mabhizimusi avo angava maentrepreneurs angava vanhu vane maideas pane chachinji here muenvironment chinoita kuti zvinhu zvaunga usingakwanisi kuita 2 months ago nhasi wakukwanisa kuzviita. I think iyi mibvunzo iri very key to every young Zimbabwean. Zviri unfair kuti titange kuda kuona kuti chii chachinja because mutungamiri wenyika haana kana mavhiki maviri matatu. Asi ndinofunga kuti sevechidiki tinofanira kugara pasi tizvibvunze kuti chii chatinomboda kuti nyika yedu ive. And ii hurumende yavapo or ichazovapo because in 7 months who knows panogona kunge pava neimwe hurumende because chaita mamwe maelections handiti. Tinofanira kuzvibvunza kuti zvinomborevei kwatiri zvese izvi. Kana zvisingarevi chunhu zvoreva kuti isusu maybe hatifanira kunyanyo pay attention to the political field. I know I'm watching the criticize or whatever. I know there's a lot of criticism. But what I'm trying to say is politics dzichangoramba dzichienda. Isu tiri kukura. Vanhu vechidiki vari kukura. Handiti. Unofanira kuzvibvunza every day uchimuka makuseni. Inini upenyu hwangu huri kuenda kupi? Nemamiriro akaita environment. Inogona kuramba yakadaro for 10, 20 years. We know kuti the last government yakaita 37 years iripo. Umwe munhu kana wanga wangogara uchiti ndichamirira kuti zvinhu zvigonaka. Waimira kusvika kuti zvosvitsa 40 years. Zvinhu zvanaka. So I think the big question is how do young people thrive under whatever environment they are thrown into? And I think we need to start asking those questions.
That's exactly what we're doing today, right?
That is right, my fellas. That is right.
Yeah.
So I hear, fellas, we've got a guest.
Yeah.
I felt like there's too much testosterone in the studio, so we need a couple of females joining us. So joining us in the studio, well, she's not in the studio, but joining us live from Harare is Samantha. Hey, Samantha, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I am great. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Quick question, is this your TV debut? Is this your TV debut?
Yes, it is actually.
You made it.
Congratulations.
You made it. Congratulations. Welcome to the field. So Samantha,
thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So here we're talking about everything that we're currently going through, and you as a young person on the ground in Zimbabwe, you have, I'm sure, you have experienced everything from the euphoria to when President Mugabe resigned through to what's going on the ground right now.
Yes,
the first question at hand that I have for you is... Go ahead. Oh, okay. So my first question... question for you is, what exactly are you seeing on the ground with regards to how the youth are feeling right now?
Okay, so my personal experience in the beginning, I guess, was obviously euphoria, like an unbelievable, like, I cannot believe this is happening right now, that excitement, all of the emotions that we went through, the anxiety, you know, and the refusal to resign, and then the eventual resignation, and that entire experience, I was... I was part of all those moments. But then I actually took a work trip soon after, I think a week after or 2 weeks after, to Bulawayo. And just kind of being there and having conversations with fellow young Zimbabweans and kind of a change of tone. And yes, there was a celebration. Yes, there was excitement and happiness that Mugabe was no longer president and that this was kind of a chance for a new chapter in this country. But it's something that as a Shona person living in Harare, I never really thought of kind of that perspective of their experience and how they were now like beginning to resurface issues about things like Gukura Hundi and marginalization and where they feel marginalized, where they feel like they're not fully represented politically, where there's like a centralization of power in Harare, things like that that I'd never actually thought about. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize that this was such a big issue for people and something that I feel like now needs to start coming up in conversations and also needs to be dealt with and confronted is this issue of how do you move forward as Zimbabweans together, you know, not just this region or these people, but everybody feeling like they are part of this change and that they are important and that they are valuable and that we can move forward together as a people and not just, you know, there's other sections or tribes or people of the country that are not fully happy or that feel like their answers have, their questions have not been answered or, you know, their needs are not being met as much as other people's needs. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the perspective that I, that kind of humbled me a little bit and kind of made me want to talk about those type of things as well.
Samantha, that's a very interesting picture you're painting there. One quick question for you in all this that's going on. Do you think the youth in Zimbabwe understand the meaning of what's happening right now?
In what context? In terms of...
In the sense that they were born in this era where there was this government running. Mm-hmm. They are living, they've lived all their lives through school, through college, and probably into first stages of employment with the same government, and all of a sudden it's gone. What does it mean for them? Do they understand it?
I think it's important to remember that the government is still the same. It's still ZANU-PF in power. Mm-hmm. But they do understand in terms of, like, it's a new president. It's something that we've never had before. Ever. Like, I was born, God was president, and this is the first time I've ever experienced what it's like to have someone else in power. And I think what's shocking people, which shouldn't be shocking, is how much the new president is engaging. You know what I mean? Like, how much he's actually taking the time to interact and engage, even through social media, with young people and just with the community of Zimbabwe in general. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people are very happy and surprised. Mm-hmm. But it's obviously something that is basic, but because it's new to us, it's a good, it makes it seem like it's revolutionary or something that's amazing or good. So I think on that level, I think a lot of people are happy. I don't know if they are fully aware of what it means, but the small little things that we see happening that is different, people are happy about that.
Mm-hmm. So quick question, Samantha. And we've had a conversation about this before off mic. I'm sourcing this from your tweets where you were talking about how it's very important for us as youth to accommodate each other across cultural lines, how it's important for Shona people to learn Ndebele, how it's important for Ndebele people to learn Shona. How is that something that could be beneficial to us as the youth?
I think if we're talking about, if I'm not mistaken, like the whole idea of learning the language and culture and kind of being open to that, I think there's something about a language barrier that I see. I don't know. I feel like just being open to learning someone else's language just says a lot about how willing or how open you are to seeing them as someone that is important to the conversation. Because if their language is not a part of the conversation, then are they really, you know what I mean? Are they really valuable? Is it really important to you? Mm-hmm. I think that's how I see it. I see it as almost like a way to bridge the gap. Is kind of opening ourselves up to saying, hey, as a people, why can we not learn each other, you know, cultures, languages, and be more open to seeing each other as one unit instead of separate individuals, separate tribes or separate cultures or whatever.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Mr.
Mandela once said it in class, I used to say, umuntu ngumuntu ngabantu, which means like a person, I'm sure you should have a fair understanding of what that means, but it basically means a person cannot be a person unless you are amongst people. So you grow within a community of people.
Yes.
So yeah.
Definitely.
Yebo, Zuluga Ndaba nimzwileke unkosazana u Samantha. Uyasho ukuthi hey madoda, madoda, madoda. Kumele sithandane, kumele sithakazele amasiko ethu, kodwa kumele into eqhakathekile kumele sihloniphane. Uthi, hey, nxa ungumuntu wesiNdebele, kuqakathekile ukuthi ufunde ulwimi olwesiShona, nxa ungumuntu wesiShona, kumele kuqakathekile ukuthi ufunde ulwimi olwesiNdebele. Why? Because it leads to ukuthi umuntu azwisise indaba zakho. Yazi, it leads to izinto esingathi ngesikhiwa ama sentiments afana lo igama lakhe ngubani? U presidential advisor. umtshwangwa yebo where ama sentiments afana nalawo ukuthi abantu kumele bakhohle le ndaba zeGugu Rahundi. When you understand amasiko abantu, when you understand ulwimi, when you understand ama challenges, you wouldn't be able to say izinto ezifana nanjalo. Right, saka ama face drunzwa ukuthi sinemwe guest food takato wonder nas
pakayipa
wow sina va po dara po zvirufambe
zvirudim da
apana apana zvirukufamba ri ku South Africa.
Ah,
this was Osaka. Even she put out
thanks, thanks Mkoma for coming through. Zimbabwe ndiyo iri kunzi yasununguka pacha. Yameno muri kuzviona sei vechidiki vari kupembera vari kufara asi nhasi tiruda kutsvaga kuti in all this what's going on right now, going forward, do they understand what's at stake? Do they want to jump in the ring and fight too, or they just want to stand by the ring sides and watch? What's your take on that?
Yeah. No, I think you have a split section of society. You'll have some people that really want to get involved, and then you're going to have people that want to watch on the sidelines, just like with the older generation. Mm-hmm. There are some who are saying, no, it's time for others to lead, and some who are saying, no, it's time for us to lead.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you find that nice split. But generally, there is this sense of wanting to participate in the governance of the country and saying, this is our Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody is going to get involved, then it should be us. But I've seen that there is much more enthusiasm and excitement and passion for young people in terms of wanting to be involved in how their country is run.
Mm-hmm.
Having seen other countries do it, you know, you look at your South African politics, it's largely dominated by young people. Your EFF, for example, vibrant opposition party, but it's young people at the forefront of it all. So I think Zimbabweans are taking a cue from there and saying, ah, no, you know, this is the country where our kids will be raised, our grandkids will be raised, so we need to make sure that things are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody else who's going to take that kind of interest in it except for us. So there is that willingness for young people to get involved.
So now, Paul, a quick question. You know, recently Zimbabwe just went through something that we call what? Operation Restore Legacy.
Yep.
Yeah.
What legacy is being restored? Because us as youth, we don't know much about this legacy that is being restored, if that's all we know.
Yeah, I think it's a controversial one, because the ZPF said that it was the legacy of the president that they were restoring, that they claimed was being tarnished by the people around him. But my understanding is that it was not the legacy of the president that needed to be restored. It was the legacy of this prosperous Zimbabwe, this Zimbabwe that was the beacon of Africa, that needed to be restored. Because what got us in that mess in the first place was this idolization of one person, the one center of power doctrine. Meanwhile, it's actually about every one of us. So I took it to mean that we are trying to restore the legacy of a vibrant Zimbabwe that everyone prospers in. But the ZDF officially, anyway, said that it was an operation to restore the legacy of the president in the first instance, and then secondly, the legacy of what other people who died, or at least what the war veterans had gone to war for. So it's divided, I suppose, and we were celebrating for different reasons. Some were celebrating that he was now the people that were surrounding him had left, and we were celebrating that, no, the old man himself has left.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he had different reasons for celebrating the legacy being restored. But all the same, I think it opened a new chapter for us as Zimbabweans.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me just hold on to you there, Paul, for 1 second. Ngiyezwa ukuthi silo umlaleli uMelusi Mwende. Mlaleli Melusi unjani futhi? Melusi?
Hello.
Yebo bhuti unjani?
Hello. Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm good, chief. How are you doing?
I'm very healthy. How are you doing?
So Melusi usungenile phela kuhlelo ntoda, awusitshele umbono wakho.
Alright, thina siyabonga. One thing to realize is that people of Zimbabwe, they don't know what they want. What is happening here, there is what you call four reasons why we are in crisis. First is the ZANU-PF rule. Second, there is issue of what you call blocked democracy. So what you realize is that as youth, we haven't arrived where we are going. these guys who are in power now, they are the ones who broke the Tsvangirai in 2008. At the same time, our agriculture sector is down. So I find that most of these things which is happening, what is affecting our economy is that our agriculture sector is flat. Mm-hmm. So what is what you realize is that when the agriculture sector is flat, you find that our most of the things or what boosts our economy is agriculture. As long as our agriculture is down, we are not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the culture of violence, you find that our youth, they are being used. At the same time, for instance, there are people who are not knowing who they are right now, which Jonathan Moore, I find that the same government with such mentality is very difficult to bring democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So our economy is going to be down until we don't know when.
God, Melusi, wathi ngikubuze-ke bhuti, ubona ngani thina njengabasakhulayo kumele sidlale indima enjani ukuthi sithuthukise inotho yeZimbabwe? Melusi?
Is he still there?
Ah.
I think we've just lost Melusi right there, but mm-hmm. Hey, Mike, hanzi na Melusi,
mm-hmm.
vechidiki, vanofanirwa kuti vapinde-pinde, vakwane-kwane, ataura nyaya agriculture,
mm-hmm.
ataura nyaya kuti hanzi youth iri kusara panze,
mm-hmm.
vanofanirwa kuti vakwane muzvirongwa and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a very good point, because mm-hmm. if this is going to be a new trajectory and the youth are going to go forward and take this ball and run with it, definitely they need to be participating in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So atizivi kuti zviri kuitika here.
I think this
one is one for you. Do you think the youth are coming in on board to kind of jump on the ship and run with it, or they're just bystanders and waiting for something to happen?
Sure. I think your point is very important here. I think kakawanda kacho, my youth tinekamwe kaku expect kuti tichagadzirirwa platform or pane vanhu vachatishedza kuti we are muti join, you know, patafura. You know, but chokwadi ndechekuti andifungi kuti pane munhu achangotifonera utudzo kuti uya ugare patafura. We have to purposefully demand a seat on that.
Azvabvu saka tofa kugara neginya.
Kana iri ginya rinoita kuti tisvike ipapo, ina handina hangu kuti shandisa ginya.
Kana kana nyika yakatorwa neginya.
But that's the truth. Uh-huh. See, that's the truth. You're not just going to get invited on the table. Like, young people have to stand up and demand that position. And something we don't realize is we have the numbers. You know, mm-hmm. Zimbabwe mm-hmm. is probably mm-hmm. 70 people of people who are below the age of 35.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the whole country. We are huge in numbers. We just don't realize it. Nenyaya kuti takapatsanurana, hatishandi pamwe chete. We are very divided.
Mm-hmm.
We are not purposeful. Like, mvunze atachivunze kuti chicha tinoda mu economy, chicha tinoda, you know, for my careers evanhu, chicha tinoda for my jobs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We have very separate voices. And at the end of the day, we don't realize, you know, how powerful we are. Kana takabatana kana chishanda tritese. So I think we have to be more organized. I think we have to be very purposeful and realize kuti these very same people who are kutitonga nas, they started it when they were boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
They started it when they were in high school. Vaitorwa vari form 2, vari form 3. But isusu tinosvika pakusvika kuma 20s, 30s, still expecting somebody, the government or whoever it is, kuti agadzire platform yekuti yonongosvika. I think that's not going to happen. It's not going to be easy for us, but we have to be purposeful about it. We have to stand up and demand that seat on the table.
But with that in mind, how do we as youth go around creating a platform for us to uplift ourselves without having to wait for the government to give us something?
Sure. I mean, that's a very good question, Mike. There's so many ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Again, we're very powerful in things like media, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right now, nobody really needs to go on one website.
But TV the whole day.
Exactly. You know, we can create our own platforms where we can have our own voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we have to think about kubudirira is not just kungowana basa kana kupiwa basa nomwe munhu. We have to be creative. We have to think about how do we create our own businesses? How do we create our own economy? So nyezunza gerasana entrepreneurship, and not just in Zimbabwe, but kana uchifunga kwa entrepreneur unofana kufunga kuti ini ndikaita chinhu chinotengeseka ku Botswana here, chinotengeseka ku DRC here. I think a lot of times we are very localized in our thinking. Tinenge chingonetsikana nezviri kuitika within Zimbabwe, but kubudirira kunene kuti wabudirira kupi.
And you want to go beyond borders.
We want to go beyond borders. We have to think big, because there are customers beyond borders who probably have more money to pay for whatever product that you have. So we have to be organized. A lot of young people have so many talents. So ungava uri artist, ungava you play sports, ungava you're an academic. You just have to look for opportunities that pursue your particular industry. And there are so many opportunities and resources out there for young people to actually use them. The question is, are we using them, and do we even know about them?
And you raise a very interesting point right there. Let me give you something from last time's elections in statistics, where less than 50% of the youth in Zimbabwe went out to vote. But here they are. My youth are kuti tinoda kuchinja hurumende tiisewo yechidiki. How do they think they will change the government and put a new government if they don't go to vote?
So yeah, first things first. Registering to vote. To be honest, and certain angle and down in my numbers, but you know, for taking from my elections that have happened over the past maybe 3, 4, 5 cycles, I think this time young people were really actually very purposeful about going to register and vote. There was that increased interest in people mobilizing, like, guys, let's go and vote. And it no register to vote, and it no register to vote. The question is, register to vote as the first step. Then voting
is another
step.
Right.
So we need to translate that momentum. In fact, tofana kutanga kui increase, because I feel like nyaya ku register ku voter was big kunana August, September, October. Then once this whole Operation Restore Legacy happened, people actually forgot about it. Like, there are very few people who are talking about ku register ku voter. People sometimes don't even know kuti deadline yanga iriko nasi, yet this current blitz, though we now know it's been extended.
Right.
So I think if every young person in Zimbabwe votes, and easy, that is the power to influence whatever outcome in Chaitika in the next 6 to 7 months. So that's a very good starting point.
All
if
right.
every young person who's eligible to vote in Zimbabwe goes and registers to vote and goes all the way to choose the type of leader that they would want to, I think that's a very powerful and effective way yekutanga kuvane a say in what happens in the country.
Okay, folks,
Mike,
it's got serious for a second. So I hear we need to go to a little social media. We've got amazing correspondents that are about to tell us what the people are saying on the social media pages.
Let's do it.
So let's go to Chido and Kudzi.
Kudzi, yeah.
Kudzi. Kudzi, guys, how you doing?
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Hey, nice scarf.
Nice scarf.
So, guys, so tell me, what are the people saying on our pages?
Well, we got a lot of interesting comments. Wellington Ton Machiha says, can't really blame the youth. Situation is so intense. And then he also mentioned young people in the diaspora. I think the government should also try to reach out to the young Zimbabweans outside the diaspora. I think they will have a lot to offer. So, he pretty much wants, you know, the government to involve the young people. We, you know, it's in our hands. The future is basically in our hands. So, yeah, that's one of those.
And people are also talking about Chiwuri no longer being the chief of police.
The comments are right here. Actually, we were on Twitter earlier.
Are we teaching each other how to use the phone, guys?
No, I was showing her where I put them.
Exactly. It's different things. Everything's different on different people's phones.
Yes.
So Brian Shumbo is saying karma is when you're no longer entitled to ZANU-PF privileges and perks, and then your disease starts proving costly. Certain people spellings are.
Yeah, there are a lot of spellings, sorry.
Welcome to social media.
Yeah.
Well, yes, of course. It's a matter of just making sure it makes sense when you read it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But everybody's pretty much, you know, with the whole Chuhuri situation going, mm-hmm. a lot of people are happy. Mm-hmm. You know, they were tired of just, you know, the roadblocks and everything having to pay for. They didn't know where their money was going, first of all. Mm-hmm. So those were some of the comments we were getting as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for having us.
All right,
guys. You take care. All right.
So, viewers, if you're joining us right now, you are tuned in to Live Talk, The Connection. Uhlelo lukhangelela ukuthuthukisa abontanga, chirongwa chakatharisira kunyatsozeya nyayadzeve chidiki. I am Mike Hove, and if you're joining us right now, the time is 8:30 in Zimbabwe and 1:30 EST in Washington, D.C. So, Evans.
Right.
You heard what the folks are saying.
I hear it. Then this is very interesting. Chihuri.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you remember last week tichuona my tweets anga my hashtag anga ganzi hashtag General Bay.
Mm-hmm.
When I fired at General Chiwenga ni masoja. Kanzwa kunzi vachihuri vari pa Twitter. Is he trending? Are we gonna see another hashtag Chihuri or something? But hey, point to note right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting to see facts about things that are happening and revolving around this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
First, an army personnel comes on TV and announces we are rolling an Operation Restore Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
A few days, a few weeks later down the line, another military member comes online and says, this is the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just after that, we hear the police commissioner is resigning. Is that not very, very sensitive?
We need to get General Moyo and General Sibanda and sit down and hear what the game plan is.
The military was saying, and then all of a sudden, and then the commissioner of police says, it's a very loud statement, but hey, vechidiki vakasununguka kuti vatiudze zvavanofunga nemaonero avanoita.
Hey, amana, pindai muchirongwa, munyatso kanda, my love. Before we go back to mm-hmm. Anesu, I hear we've got our third guest, Tabani.
Oh, yeah.
Advocate Tabani's Cape Town. How can advocate?
Hello, can you hear me?
Eh, Nyaguzo, how's life, Mamba? In China, it seems like the network isn't working, eh?
I'm sorry, you're kind of breaking, you said?
Can you hear me, Tabani?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's kind of breaking, so I cannot hear you so clearly, though.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's just go with the conversation. If you still can't hear, I'm sure our producer will drop the line and try to get you back so that we can hear you clearer. Is that okay?
You say?
I think this signal is very bad. We might just have lost him right there, but we'll keep trying to get hold of him and get him back. Mm-hmm. It'll be exciting to get his side of the story.
I want to hear what the young people are doing in China.
Yeah? With an accent.
Anyway. So let's go back. Wait, well, we still have Paul on the line, man. So let's go back to Paul. Saka, Paul, man, zwapa, mdala uyu Evans, angachinyatso zehti, pane maybe chiri kutambika ipapo. Are you able to comment or to doubt? I say what you want to say in
terms of the military operation.
That is correct.
It's a tricky one. To be honest, I think it's a very tactful game that the administration is playing. I think everything ties in together. I mean, you don't just have people that have been refusing to vacate these security service officers for years, now deciding all of a sudden that they're just going to retire without plans of being placed somewhere else. So I think maybe what we're seeing is the new president surrounding himself with people that he knows he can trust, people that he knows that will get the job done, maybe because of the discipline that's there in the armed forces or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I suspect we're going to be seeing a lot more of our beloved general in civilian government. because after the president himself, he's the people's general, and I think there's a bigger role that he has to play. But I think everything's tying in together, and we're going to see lots of interesting changes. Maybe we're going to see lots of army generals now becoming ministers and ambassadors, And then that could be a good thing, you know, as long as we're not obviously breaching the constitution by having someone both in the army and in government at the same time. And I think, you know, we mustn't just be quick to criticize and say, ah, no, it's a dictatorship or whatever. Maybe it's the change that we're waiting to see, because we had civilian ministers all this time and a civilian government that was just looting and thought they were entitled to rule forever and ever. So maybe this is the start of something that we can actually enjoy. And I've always said to people, I think Zimbabweans would rather have an economy that is vibrant than to have one of these sort of glorified democracies where you boast of checks and balances. But what really matters at the end of the day for most people, I think, at least from my perspective anyway, is that your kids can go to a good school, that there's food on the table, there's a good standard of living, all those basic things that we're starting to be deprived of. And I think once you get that going, you could put ministers who are army generals and whatever, and people will probably be fine with it.
So thank you so much, Paul. Just hold on to the line. I hear we've got Samantha back. I had a really important question for Samantha. Everyone keeps talking about things that are happening on the ground. And you, as a youth that is on the ground, I'm sure you can speak on it from first-hand experience. People right now are very they're putting so much emphasis on the whole BVR exercise. They say a lot. Some are saying youths don't want to go out. Some are saying they got carried away with the Operation Restore Legacy. What exactly is going on? When President Mugabe left office, did the youth feel it is very important for them to go out there and get their voices heard with regards to going out there to register to vote and making sure that they can vote next year?
I think that there was, from my perspective, from what I saw, was there was more of a decline in terms of the amount of people going to register and the drives, when people have drives saying, let's go out and register. During that entire period, there was a bit of, obviously there was so much else going on that kind of shut down a little bit. And it's slowly picking up again, and we just got word that the registration, I think it's been extended again to the 18th of February. So we're trying, I guess, to get young people to go out and vote. Doesn't mean that just because Mugabe is no longer in power that we shouldn't still vote, because a lot of people feel like, well, from the conversations that I've heard, especially with young people, what's the point? Like, what's the point even if I vote? It's not going to change. Do you think that, you know, ZANU-PF is just going to allow, even if, you know, they lose or MDC wins or whatever, do you think they will just, after everything that has happened, do you think they will just allow, especially with the military in their pocket like that? You know, that's what I've been seeing, and I've also seen a lot of people saying, well, we're happy with where things are headed now, we feel like we don't need to vote. So it's still that issue of young people not seeing why it's so important to still vote, to still exercise that right, to still kind of understand what voting for which party means. I feel like people at this point are just like, well, I mean, is there really a point anymore? That's the vibe that I'm personally getting. Like, what is the point anymore of voting this time around?
You've registered to vote, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Yes, I have. Okay, now I like
but it
you.
It did take me a while, and part of me was discouraged because I was like, I don't know if it's going to... But I think the most important thing is just to register, and then who knows what's going to happen in these next few months. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, folks, you heard it. Samantha Runyatsukurudzira vechidiki. We are kutaza vontanga. We are shukuti. Hey, my tota, hambani yopalisa. And I'm no nyoresa.
You are going nyoresa.
My secret, you know, I'm good. But I hear Uguti says, no, Tabani, I hope this time online. His line is clear. Tabani?
Yes, sir.
Hey, before, now I can hear you clearly. How are you, my boss?
Yeah, I'm all good. How are you?
I'm Nandi. Gunjan, where are China?
It's really cold, but everything else is awesome apart from the bad weather.
Man, that makes two of us, man. Life sucks in this Western place. I wish I could go back home. I'm coming, guys.
Anyway,
let's go. Let's throw him under the bus.
Okay. So, Tabani, here we're busy talking about how we can uplift ourselves as youth, you know, with everything that's going on in the situation in Zimbabwe. We now have a new president, a new cabinet that, unfortunately, once again, lacks youth. What is your take on everything that's happening in the country as a young Zimbabwean?
All right. Well, I think there's a great deal of uncertainty because we have divided opinions upon, amongst the youth. You have other people who are now happy with the status quo. Like before everything else happened, everyone was shouting, like, Zanu must go, Mugabe must go. Mm-hmm. Then after everything that happened, Mugabe left. Then it seemed like other people became content with the current situation. And for a moment in that euphoria, we kind of forgot that we wanted Zanu to go, not Mugabe, because I mean, maybe I may be wrong, but I believe that Zanu is more than one person, you know. It's an entire system. So in that process, other people just lost focus of the struggle, if I may call it that, that they had started. And they have been slacking. You can even notice maybe with the registration and voting started going down. People were not as motivated. Mm-hmm. After that situation, then you also have the other side who are now trying to reignite that fire, saying that, okay, guys, we won the battle, but we have not won the war. So let's get back on track. Yes, Mugabe left, and that is good, but we still need to get rid of this Mugabeism that is still existing, that is still plaguing the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what happened was a great thing, but it gave us a very small window period where we could act. Like we could act and turn everything in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the euphoria and everything else that was going on, people were so caught up in the hype. And I mean, that was the last thing anybody expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cannot even still, like right now, I cannot say former president. I'm still getting used to it. So it was the last thing that we were expecting. And we got so caught up in that we forgot that there's still tomorrow, and we need to deal with this situation right now. In that, like, you can even notice maybe the opposition, they were kind of quiet during that mm-hmm. time. They could have done something, I mean, in my opinion, that could have cemented their power, that could have put them, that would have given them more leverage than they actually have right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that did not happen, and now we are where we are, and we still do not have what people marched for.
Mm-hmm.
We still do not have the prospect of what we were marching for. We want the youth to be adequately represented in the country, be it politically and economically, just as the Constitution states.
Mm-hmm.
And we want that to be done in a non-partisan manner. But, you know, I'm hoping I'm wrong, but it still seems like, you know, you have to belong to the ruling party for you to really do something for your country, or mm-hmm. for your country to let you do something for the country, which I think is a bad thing, because we are too old for this party politics, and I think it's the reason why we even came to be where we are right now. So the sooner we move away from that, and the sooner we realize that, no, everybody has something to offer, even though they may belong to another party, or they may not even affiliate themselves with any party.
Mm-hmm.
I think the moment we realize that is the moment we can begin to progress as a country. So that's my thought. Yeah.
Thabani, I have a follow-up question for you. We have seen the military come in and do what the civilians failed to do for over two decades. That is removing Mugabe and getting a new president into power, who came in with a new cabinet filled with military personnel. Aren't we flattened with the military rule right there?
That part we cannot really say for certain that we are flirting with the military rule, because it's not something that's unconstitutional for someone who used to be, and I put emphasis on used to be, in the military, to occupy a position in the government. You know, it happens world over. You even have, I think, in the Trump administration, people mm-hmm. that used to serve in the military that are also, you know, in the government. So it's not something that is unheard of, and it's not something that is completely new. However, given our situation, I would say it's unique. It's unique to us. We have come far, and we know these people. These are the same people that we have been dealing with for the past 37 years. And even though they did what they did, which is a great thing, to some of us, it actually feels like, well, they just cleaned up the mess that they themselves had missed in the first place. So them also being put in there, it gives out two pictures, you know. Some like the other picture can be that they probably have experience of how the government runs and how the country runs. They know the ins and the outs. So putting them there would be for the advantage of the country, so that, you know, you don't put someone there who doesn't know what is going on, and then you have to teach them everything from scratch. Mm-hmm. Which should be a good thing, you know, them being put there for their experience and expertise. However, there's also the other part where, you know, we have another school of thought, if I may call it that, that is coming up saying that it seems like this is simply them being rewarded for removing Mugabe and, you know, replacing him with our current president. So mm-hmm. if that is the case, then that would be a slippery slope, and it would be setting a very bad precedent for us as a country, for the, you know, next generation and everything. And I can only hope that, you know, that is not the case. So the president, I'd love to believe he obviously knows what he is doing, you know, in appointing who he's appointing. But I think even you should also consider the people and consider the optics of each and every move that he makes. If he appoints only military personnel in the cabinet and everything, mm-hmm. to us as just the ordinary people, we'll begin to think this is just him rewarding his boys with posts. And, you know, this is a problem that also is not unique to Zimbabwe alone, but in Africa you have, for example, what's his name, Zuma, when you notice that he used to have in his cabinet, like he used to have in his government, some deputy ministers, which was kind of unconstitutional in regards to the South African constitution. And mm-hmm. if you really notice, it was just him rewarding, you know, his homies, if we may call them that, mm-hmm. with posts in the government. So that's the last thing that we want. We want to put people that need to be there and not burden the government with, you know, with so many people, when we can work with so little people and actually get more done. So
okay,
there is two sides to that story.
We have a video that yeah. we wanted to play. Can we go to that video real quick, and then we need to discuss the economical point because someone was talking about the MDC and the opposition. Mm-hmm. So they had a meeting recently in Washington, D.C. You were there. I was there. Anesu was there. And so I want the viewers to see what they were saying for themselves and to hear what the youth have to say about that. So let's go to that right now.
All right.
Okay, fine. You have talked about young people, taking people to a role in what is happening in our country. I'm quite glad to say the three of us are at the helm of our individual political parties. Although we find ourselves in one alliance, but it's very interesting, Kuti, you can look at our ages. You probably can see that I'm 93 and he's probably 91 and he's probably 95. which in fact shows you the new huge shift within our country to recognize and accept the role of young people.
So we obviously as a new government would want to recognize the role of young people. And we understand that even the world economy is driven by young people. It is young people who are innovative. We want to build an economy which rewards innovation. One of the things that we have been fooled about the empowerment of young people we've had in our country is, you know, there's been empowerment around taking businesses. You know, a group of young people will just go and invent a farm. They take over that farm and then they become the new owners of that farm. They identify a property, they go and invade that property, and then they become new owners. And this is absolutely what we want to move away from. You know, our country has been confused and polluted in command agriculture, command business doing, command everything. You know, you don't have to work for you to accumulate and build wealth. In other words, you have to invent. So we need to promote a culture which empowers young people to make their choices, which empowers young people to decide what they want. Empowerment to us would mean a choice for young people to decide what they want and what business they want to be in. If you don't want to be in farming, you can't find yourself in farming because government is saying you must take a farm as long as it belongs to some white farmer elsewhere, somewhere. So we are looking at a policy framework which empowers our young people to think, to be innovative, and then reward them for that innovation.
Right, Matotalo Ubengu, Jacob Garivume, the leader of Transform Zimbabwe, Ube Kasisa Uti, hey, bona njenge-opposition bakhangela ukuthuthukisa abontanga kanjani. Umnumzana Ngarivume uyasho ukuthi hayi bo, njengabontanga kumele bazithuthukise, kumele bafunde izinto eziningi eziqakathekileyo, and bona njenge-opposition bangathatha amandla ngomnyeko ozayo bakhangela ukusiza. Saka varume manzwa zvazvitaurwa kana vaNgarivume
tazvibata vari kuti ivo hanzi vechidiki regai kungomira muchiti zuva richabuda, uyai muende muzotora.
Ndiyo zitati la manji.
Uyaye mutore, hakuna chakupai kungoti, oh, hanzo uyaye mutore mkana uripo takafura.
Strange enough, that's exactly what Anesu was saying.
Right.
Where he was saying, as youth, you need to go out there and take it and work.
Just on that point, Anesu, urumende iri kweze zizi, haina vechidiki gai mkabini?
Not one.
Asa avarukuti hanzi uyai muzvitorere Mega Simba, uyai muzvoitwa sei, murikuti kudiwa
koma zvitora sei pasina
makatadza kupinda sei komukapi.
I think pane chimwe chokwadi chinorwadza kugamuchira, especially kana tichitaura nezvematongerwo enyika. Hachisi chinhu chiri nyore kutonga nyika, hachisi chinhu chiri nyore kupinda mapolitical parties. I remember umwe mvunzo wandakavunza vachamisa when they were here was ma structures yenye ma youth akambomira sei. Vana vatombonyatsoziye kuti, you know, ma structures yenye ma youth akamira sei kuti kana vachidawo kungava kujoina kana kungoonawo kuti muri kuita nezvei zvinofamba sei. And he was very honest, he was very blunt akati kunonetsa. Kunonetsa, it's a politics dzemuZimbabwe hadzisi open for an HDIC. And it hadzisi friendly for an HDIC. So it's almost scary because zvinoreva kuti we have to fight. And this is hangu to fight yacho.
fight yacho.
Whether kungoenda pa Twitter totanga kupopota kana kupa Facebook totanga kupopota.
Twitter inotora nyika.
Amen. And this was you to fight yacho, if fight HP, but that's the reality. That's the reality because a lot of these leaders, a lot of these people in high positions, a lot of these old leaders are not willing. They are not willing to have young people be involved and be a part of this. And if our political parties, their structures are not open for that, then that's a very huge problem we have. And we have to find a way to penetrate. We have to find a way to penetrate because we know the environment and the situation is not friendly for young people, especially politics.
Now, Paul, I need you to put on your political hat for 1 second, my friend. Paul, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Right. I'm saying I need you to put on your political commentator hat for 1 second here. You heard Anesu saying, reiterating the words of Mr. Chamisa, where you were saying it's not really easy. Zimbabwean politics is not necessarily made to accommodate the youth. As the youth, what do we then do to squeeze ourselves into that situation whereby things change and we are accommodated?
To be honest, I think that's the trickiest question that we have to address in an African context. Because you face two situations, right? Even if you look at the South African context, when you had a vibrant youth league in the ANC, they ended up kicking those guys out. And those guys ended up forming what is now South Africa's most vibrant opposition party. And what we generally see in Africa, even in Zim, is that if you have a vibrant youth league, it is going to be seen as a threat to the old guard, and then the old guard is going to shut them down and try and, you know, stifle them and all of that. So it's a challenge because at the same time, you want to perhaps grow in your party structure, but maybe your party is not open to those kind of policies and ways and means of grooming young leaders. And so maybe sometimes what you see now happening is with your advocate Maeres is you become independent.
Mm-hmm.
You move outside of political structures and you form your own structure.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes with a battle of its own, because now you have to start and get a political base of your own, which is not easy if you're an independent.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a negotiating thing that we need to see ourselves engaging in with the old guard, to say, look, succession is the way forward. You've seen how things failed with the ZANU-PF succession, with the Mugabe legacy and all of that. What mm-hmm. you can do, however, is invest in the next group of people that will take after when you leave off, and then they'll continue to bring about this legacy of a revolutionary party in the context of ZANU-PF, or a democratic party, or whatever context you want to put it in. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's trying to coexist with the existing structures, as opposed to break away from that. And then again, we have a question of people who want to then say, when they're in the structures, they want to somewhat outshine their leaders. And that also creates a problem. Because mm-hmm. if you have an old guard that is not performing, and you start becoming the star performer in the political party, you get charged with all sorts of things, from insubordination to trying to take over the party and all of that. So maybe the question of also, as young people, being humble enough to take lessons from these so-called old guards that we have. Because mm-hmm. maybe sometimes we're too arrogant. We get in there with so much energy. We want to take over everything we think, because we have degrees.
Okay.
We can't outthink them.
Okay, thank you so much, Paul. I had a quick question actually for Samantha too. Samantha, I'm sure you heard the video. Oh man, I hear Samantha's gone. This sucks. Anesu,
yep.
We have a very important MDC person who just texted me, because I'm the plug.
Yep.
I know important people, my friend.
It's fine.
I am very, very important. Mzobanzi Ncube, who is the secretary for MDCT in North America. He just texted me now, because I'm, once again, very important.
Yeah.
He says, and I read, first comment was, youth must register to vote in numbers and get those old, well, come on, Muzi. Come on, man. And get those people of older generations who have shown you through their cabinet selection that youth are not important, right? And then he says to you, my friend, tell this guy I'm the NDCT USA organizing secretary to call me if you want to join our youth.
If I want to join the youth. I like that emphasis. Because I also want to find the ZANU-PF North America. I don't know who he is.
And I'm sure, guys, this comment is applicable to everybody. If you are looking to join the MDC youth, we've got the number. Call me, and we'll give you, and you can join. But yes, thank you so much, guys. I see time is running out, and it's hurting me. But to wrap it up, Paul, I'm going to ask you, do you have any questions for Paul?
I think, Paul, we have kept him long enough.
Okay.
If you have something,
go ahead
for him,
ask Tabani one question.
Tabani, I was going to ask what the youth are doing. Oh, very interestingly, though, I've seen a lot of people connecting from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine China, Canada, Joburg, mm-hmm. Cape Town, mm-hmm. Guangzhou, and all these places. What are they doing to take advantage of the social media platforms to connect with each other and kind of
uplift
themselves and you know, use it to their advantage? Politically, economically, financially, socially, in whichever way.
All right. As far as I know, so many youth are actually doing a lot. You know, for example, here in China, I know a few guys that are, you know, touching small businesses where they buy some stuff from here, they send it back home, they send it there, you know, that kind of helps with employment and all. And also, you find some other things, like wherever you are, be it you're in China, you're in Canada, or whatnot, you find something that is there that is not yet in Zimbabwe. And, you know, you alert your other people in Zimbabwe using social media, like be it, let's say maybe like economic.
Tabani, my friend, I hear the sneaking theme that tells me that it's over now. It breaks my heart, my friend. But I'm going to need to hold you. I tell you what we can do. We can continue this conversation next week, folks. Come back next week, The Connection, and we will continue. I will look for these folks for you, and we'll have them. Thank you so much for joining us on the program, Tabani. Okay, folks, it looks like everyone's gone. But thank you so much, Anesu, for joining us on the program.
Yep.
Dara.
Sando Zako.
Next week tinodzoka futi andizvo izvozvo.
Asante sana.
So folks, that is it from me for this week. See you next week. I am Mike Hove, same place, same time, The Connection. Good night.